Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. Today we are starting the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we have chapter 1, the first step in God realization, and this is the invocation verse. So it's just before the first verse. So it's the invocation verse.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Respectful obeisances unto you.
My respectful obeisances unto you.
Bhagavate.
Bhagavate.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Unto Lord Krishna.
Unto Lord Krishna.
The son of Vasudev.
The son of Vasudev.
Translation. O my Lord, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Here is a purport by His Divine Grace Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Vasudevaya means to Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Since by chanting the name of Krishna, Vasudev, one can achieve all the good results of charity, austerity and penances. It is to be understood that by the chanting of this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the author or the speaker or anyone of the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam is offering respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the principles of creation are described, and thus the first canto may be called creation. Similarly, in the second canto, the post-creation cosmic manifestation is described. The different planetary systems are described in the second canto as different parts of the universal body of the Lord. For this reason, second canto may be called the cosmic manifestation. There are 10 chapters in the second canto, and in these 10 chapters, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam and the different symptoms of this purpose are narrated. The first chapter describes the glories of chanting, and it hints at the process by which the neophyte devotee may perform meditation on the universal form of the Lord. In the first verse, Shukadeva Goswami replies to the question of Maharaj Parikshit, who asked him about one's duties at the point of death. Maharaj Parikshit was glad to receive Shukadeva Goswami, and he was proud of being descendant of Arjun, the intimate friend of Krishna. Personally, he was very humble and meek, but he expressed his gladness that Lord Krishna was very kind to his grandfathers, the son of Pandu, especially his own grandfather Arjun. And because Lord Krishna was always pleased with Maharaj Parikshit's family, at the verge of Maharaj Parikshit's death, Shukadeva Goswami was sent to help him in the process of self-realization. Maharaj Parikshit was a devotee of Lord Krishna from his childhood. So he had natural affection for Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami could understand his devotion. Therefore, he welcomed the question about the king's duty. Because the king hinted that worship of Lord Krishna is the ultimate function of every living entity. Shukadeva Goswami welcomed the suggestion and said, because you have raised questions about Krishna, your question is most glorious. The translation of the first verse is as follows.
Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnana Chana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopikakata Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Padidanam Palibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So we have very auspicious and wonderful invitation to the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here it is so wonderful that even before starting first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse starts from Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are paying our obeisances unto Lord Shri Krishna, who is the son of Vasudev, and he is all pervading. So what I thought today is, since we are embarking upon journey towards the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I will try to give an overview of the entire canto. So as we move forward, we understand what to expect and what are the key points that we can take from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So before moving into the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have to tell that the questions on which this canto is built is coming from the last section of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And as we can see, in the second canto is so important that in the purports, Srila Prabhupada has presented so much of philosophy. Practically the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness is in the second canto. And also, we can see that it's not like pastimes after pastimes. Other cantos we can see so many pastimes. But here, we cannot see so many pastimes. But the link is through philosophy. So, we have to be a bit attentive in understanding this canto. there is no the thread of stories to, you know, keep us awake or enlivened, but it is through philosophy. So in the last section of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami asked a few questions to the sages who were assembled on the bank of Ganges. Then, as we know, Shukadeva Goswami, he arrived by the arrangement of Lord Krishna, and then he asked, Maharaj Parikshit asked, four important questions to Shukadeva Goswami. So, these questions are the main subject matter of first three chapters of second canto. So, we have 10 chapters in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the first three chapters are built on the questions coming from the first canto itself. And in the fourth chapter, which is titled The Process of Creation, Maharaj Parikshit asks Shukadeva Goswami about creation, the connection between the Lord and His energies. So the next three chapters, they are the chapters 5, 6 and 7 are dedicated to the creation. So again, from the questions from the first canto is leading to the first three chapters of second canto. And in the fourth chapter, Maharaj Parikshit is again asking questions on creation. So that will move to next three chapters. Those are 5, 6 and 7. And finally, in the eighth chapter, again Maharaj Parikshit asks a very important question. In fact, a series of questions. And to answer this, Shukadeva Goswami dedicates the chapter 9, which is in fact a conversation between Lord Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And then Shukadeva Goswami concludes whole discussion in chapter 10. So that is the brief overview of second canto. Now, let's move to the questions asked by Maharaj Parikshit at the end of first canto. In the 19th chapter, which is the last chapter of the first canto, 37th verse, Maharaj Parikshit asks, "You are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons, and especially for one who is about to die." So this is, what is the way of perfection? So this is one question. What is a perfect life? So that is one question, because it is applicable to all, and especially one who is about to die. And we can also place ourselves in the same shoes, because we don't know when are we going to leave this world. Next one is, "Please let me know that a man should what a man should hear, chant, remember and worship, and also what he should not do." So on one side, what one should do and what one shouldn't do. So it was the verse from the last class, that is yesterday. Yat chodavyam, atho japyam, yat kartavyam. So three things. What one should hear, chant and remember, and finally worship. And what one should not do. So the first three chapters are building on these three questions. Now, Srila Prabhupada makes his point in the purport that the principles of creation, the principles of primary creation, was already described in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Because there is a brief description about different forms of Vishnus and how the Karana Vrishaya Vishnu is glancing upon Pradhan, and from there the whole creation process starts. And here, in the second canto, it is primary creation is over, so Sarga is over, then it is coming to the Visarga. So that's the reason second canto is called the cosmic manifestation. So it is sub-creation. Now, we heard this question asked by Maharaj Parikshit. On one level, we can understand the meaning of these questions. However, on a deeper level, one could ask, why should a pure devotee ask such questions? Or what is the deeper meaning of these questions? So it is explained that the deeper meaning of these questions is that he is just asking, is it better for me to worship Krishna? That is the actual question. That is, since different sages assembled gave different opinions and different suggestions to Maharaj Parikshit. Now, Maharaj Parikshit is asking, he knows that the ultimate objective is to worship Krishna and to leave the world in thinking of Lord Krishna. He knows that. So his question is just confirming, whether shall I remember Krishna at the time of my departure? So that is the real meaning of the question. So even with that hint within, Sri Sukadeva Goswami was completely enlightened to answer. So we can see why the sages, they disagreed. Because if there are people who are scholars, there will be always disagreements. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur and there were so many scholars assembled. So, Srila Prabhupada asked the scholars one question. What is the conclusion of all the scriptures? Such a basic question. And all of them said, that we cannot say. Because there is no agreement on the conclusion of the scriptures. And Srila Prabhupada just asked a Gurukul boy, just a young kid, he asked, what is the absolute truth? Who is God? He said, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Same thing happened in LA also. There were many scholars, theologians from different universities in a garden, and Srila Prabhupada asked, what is the highest purpose of your theology? What is the purpose of philosophy? So they didn't have a concrete answer. So Srila Prabhupada said, what you are looking for, we are giving you for free. That is Krishna. So this is so clear the conclusions are. Now in the same way, the sages couldn't come to any conclusion on the bank of Ganges. So Maharaj Parikshit already knew what he should do. But as a humble devotee, he asked the opinion of others. And now he is hinting that, shall I worship Krishna at the time of my departure? Now here we have to understand a very important point. That is, the questions posed by Maharaj Parikshit now at the end of the first canto, as well as later, are filled with compassion for the living entities. Now we can see people can ask questions which are completely irrelevant or not suiting the audience. Say if you are giving a lecture for new people, say for example, maybe one devotee may be sitting, immediately at the end he will, you know, very enthusiastically will put his hand up and ask a question, you know, can you explain who is Karna the Kshaya Vishnu? Or, you know, explain something about Rasa dance. Can't predict. Anything can come out. So this is not out of compassion. So if we are asking a question, we have to understand the forum. It's not just we have to show off of our knowledge. It happens many times. There is a new people are there in a class, and when we ask for questions, the devotees can show off their knowledge. So this is no compassion to others. Similarly, when answering the question also, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is showing compassion. Because Sukadeva Goswami could have given the answer in one shloka. There's no difficulty for Sukadeva Goswami to summarize everything in one shloka. In fact, all the truths are in a few verses. Everything is summarized in one verse. However, because of compassion for the living entities, he is elaborating. As we know, the mood in which Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, given in the first canto, is Samsarinam Karinayaha Purana Guhyam. Samsarinam Karinayaha. Aha means spoke. Samsarinam of the materialistic people. Karinaya, out of compassion. So out of compassion for the materialistic people, Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. So when he is answering the questions of Maharaj Parikshit, he is showing compassion by step by step elevating the conditioned souls from lower consciousness to a higher consciousness. We can see the same thing in Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna can dispel the doubt of Arjuna in one verse. And the conclusion is there, Sarva Dharman Paritya Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Pabebhyo Mokshayishyami Mashucha. It's easy for Krishna to give the conclusion. Or if you want one more verse, Man Manav Bhavamad Bhakto. In a few verses, it is very easy for Krishna to give all conclusions in one go. Maybe it will be easier for us also to distribute books. Bhagavad Gita, one sheet. We can just pass around. Everyone can have a copy of Bhagavad Gita with no difficulty. But no. Krishna wants to attract all different kinds of people. That's why there is yoga ladder. So if somebody is looking for jnana, somebody is looking for yoga, somebody is looking for karma, for anyone, okay, you come to Bhagavad Gita and slowly go through the process of climbing the ladder and come to the absolute platform. So similarly, as a bona fide devotee of Lord Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami is following the same footsteps. So here we can see, the first chapter is the first step in God realization. Then the second chapter is the Lord in the heart. And the third one is pure devotional service, the change in heart. So can you see the progression? First one is the first step in God realization, where the meditation on Virat Roop or Vishwaroop is presented. And from that platform, it is progressed to the meditation on the Super Soul within. And in the third chapter, it is pure devotional service unto Krishna. So it's a progressive step. Now, again, we have to understand a very important point that Shukadeva Goswami is an expert speaker and he knows the audience. So he caters both for Maharaj Parikshit, who is about to depart from this world, and he caters for any new person who is just a neophyte in the process of bhakti. So the Shukadeva Goswami, he gives the answers to the questions immediately, and at the same time he elevates a person who is of lower consciousness to higher consciousness. So this is expertise in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can see in the first chapter, the first step in God realization, that straight away Shukadeva Goswami blasphemes, or he criticizes, condemns materialistic people and shows what one should not do, because that is part of the question, right? So immediately Shukadeva Goswami gives answer to that question. Shukadeva Goswami says, Shrodavyadini Rajendra Nirnam Santi Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedhina. He defines a materialistic person, a materialistic householder, has thousands upon thousands of subject matters to speak about, but not about Krishna. Apashyatam Atmatattvam. What is the qualification? They haven't seen the knowledge about the soul. So since they are apashyata, they haven't seen, they have no knowledge about Atmatattvam, about the science of soul, no understanding about the science of the soul. So they have so many subject matters to speak about. We know that very, very clearly, right? Before becoming Krishna conscious, we all had so many things to speak about. Now also we may have tendencies coming up. So we have so many things to speak about. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, then we are actually channeled our thoughts and we are channeling our speech towards Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami contends very heavily this, and then he gives the answer exactly what one should not do. So here is a verse. Nidraya hiyade naktam vevayena chava vayaha diva cha atahe rajan kudumba bharanenava. He says, the lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence. And in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. So this is the description of one who is not Krishna conscious. What one should not do. So this is the answer to the first question. What one should not do. Then he doesn't stop there. Then he gives the actual process. And what exactly Maharaj Parikshit should do at this point of death. These are coming in the first few verses in the second canto, first chapter itself. Etam nirvidyamananam icchatam akutopayam yoginam nirpanadnitam harer namanukirtanam. So, here it makes it very clear. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material duties, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by the dint of transcendental knowledge. So for all, the process of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is recommended. So in the beginning itself, the holy name is glorified. So you can see at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam also, the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam also, glorifies the holy name, Sankirtanam, is glorified. So we can see the theme of holy name is so prominently present within Srimad Bhagavatam. And after this, Sukadeva Goswami encourages Maharaj Parikshit, again in the first chapter, by saying that what is the use of a prolonged life if it is not in Krishna consciousness. Whereas even a short life, even a moment of life in full Krishna consciousness has all value. And to establish this point, Sukadeva Goswami gives the whole pastime of Ghatoga Maharaj, who fought for the demigods, and he came to know that he had only one moment to live. Then he left the whole thing and he came and meditated on Krishna and went back to the spiritual world. In that way, he encouraged King Parikshit. And finally, there is a description about the Virat Roop meditation or Vishwaroop meditation. Because people have a misconception about Vishwaroop or the universal form. If some people ask, who is the absolute truth? What's the highest? People say Vishwaroop. Virat Roop is the highest. But Srila Prabhupada makes it clear that Vishwaroop is only for those who are highly materialistic, who cannot understand the transcendental form of the Lord. So who cannot meditate upon the transcendental form of the Lord, who cannot chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, for them, the meditation on Vishwaroop is recommended, which is nothing but the material manifestation of the universe. In other words, projecting the Supreme Lord to be the matter. In other words, seeing the Lord as matter. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions at many places, including Bhagavad Gita, that this Vishwaroop meditation is just an imagination, because the Lord is never matter. But for a person who is completely materialistic, it is a stepping stone to higher form of realization and higher form of meditation. So, this is the content of the first chapter. Then, we move to the second chapter, which is the Lord in the heart. The Lord of the heart. Here, again, as we know, Lord of the heart is Super Soul, the Paramatma. So here the meditation on Paramatma is recommended. So Srila Prabhupada beautifully explains how to meditate upon the Lord. So this is a very practical session that we get from this purport, that we have to look at the deities also from the lotus feet and towards up until we reach the beautiful smiling face of the Lord. So when we look at the Lord, or even if we look at a great personality, we are supposed to look at their feet and then move upwards. And Srila Prabhupada makes a very important point that if we look up the Lord, especially the deity form of the Lord, in this fashion, then as we meditate upon different parts, different limbs of the Lord, our intelligence become more and more purified. So we have such a wonderful access to the deity form of the Lord. Radha Vallabha, Gauranitha, Jagannath Balabha, Subhadra, Narasimhadev. So when we actually see the Lord and when we meditate upon the Lord, then our intelligence is getting purified. So this is a very easy process of purifying our intelligence. Just meditate upon the beautiful form of the Lord. In fact, if we have attraction for so many materialistic objects, opposite sex, materialistic gadgets, this, that, so many different things, if we just meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord, then the mind will naturally go to the deity form of the Lord. One can think, what are they wearing? What are the kind of garland are they? How is their turban? One can meditate on each and every aspect of the Lord. That is purifying our intelligence. So here, the prime focus is given on meditation, means meditation on the super soul, because the chapter is the Lord of the heart. So it's meditation on the super soul, which is higher than meditating on the Virat Roop, because Virat Roop is material, whereas super soul is plenary expansion of Krishna himself. Then in one purport, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear what is meant by purification. Srila Prabhupada says, purification means purifying from sex desire. So the whole purpose on meditating upon the Lord in this way is to purify from the sex desire. So Srila Prabhupada writes, so purification means getting free gradually from sex desire. And this is attained by meditation on the process of the Lord as described herein, beginning from the feet. So we can really take shelter of this process. And at the end of the second chapter, there are two important verses which are giving answers to the other two questions given in the first canto. So the one question is, what one should do? So this is a very important question. What one should do? That is, what one should chant, hear, remember and worship. So our answer is, Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvata shrodhavya kirtidavyascha sarvatsmartavyo bhagavan ranam. O king, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So it's a very conclusive statement. And always and everywhere. So what one should do? So previously, Maharaj Parikshit asked, one who is about to die and also people in general. For everyone, the actual recommendation is think about, worship and chant Krishna's name. Think about Krishna. So this is the conclusion. Then one more question was asked. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons. So Parikshit asked this question. What is the actual perfection? So again, this verse, the coming verse, this is the last verse of the second chapter. It's very significant because it is giving the conclusion and what is the highest aim of life. What is the perfection? It's presented right in the beginning of second canto. What is the highest goal, what is the perfection, is given in the right in the beginning of second canto. Meanwhile, Maharaj Parikshit is giving meditation on the super on the Virat Roop in the first chapter and on the super soul in the second chapter. So this verse is, those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life, known as material enjoyment. It's a very important statement for all of us. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life, known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the Personality of Godhead. So this is considered the perfection. That is, hear about Krishna and then purify the consciousness from the polluted aim of life. In fact, the Sanskrit is Vishaya Vidushitashayam. Vishaya Vidushitashayam. Polluted aim of life. So we have to give up that polluted aim of life. But we can't give up unless and until we have something which is positive and something which is substantial. So that is given as the pastimes of the Lord. So it is given, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Hearing narrations about the Supreme Lord's transcendental pastimes is the final, highest recommendation of the scriptures. See, so this is the highest recommendation. Hearing the Leela of the Supreme Lord, that is the highest. So that is presented in the last verse of second chapter. And third chapter, again, so this is a prelude to pure devotional service. So the third chapter is narrating pure devotional service, the change of change in heart. So it's very interesting again that the third chapter is presenting first demigod worship. Because again, Parikshit Maharaj is present, Shukadeva Goswami is presenting for all kinds of people. And according to Vedic tradition, if someone has different kinds of material desires, they are encouraged to go and worship different demigods in charge. So that's the reason. The remnants still we can see in India. I went to my auntie's house one time and we have our service roster. In the same way, she had her roster. And this roster was 7 days, 7 demigods. And what are the rituals to perform for them? So this is the kind of demigod worship. And it is impossible to worship all the demigods because there are 330 million demigods, 33 crore. How can we satisfy all of them? It is impossible. Still, Shukadeva Goswami presents first. You know, he gives, okay, for health what to do, to get a good wife what to do, for education what to do. He gives the whole list of demigods in few verses. And at the end, Shukadeva Goswami says, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham para. So he says, Akama, if you have no material desires, or if you are with full of material desires, or if you want liberation, if you are magnanimous, then worship Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tivrana, with full determination and with full intensity. So this is the recommendation. So Shukadeva Goswami presents the conclusion there also. He also again builds that up. He again presents the demigod worship and then ends in worship of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives a very wonderful definition about akama in this verse. Akama, what is the first letter of akama? A or A, correct? A or A. So in Bhagavad Gita, what is meant by A or A? Anyone can remember? What does A means? Krishna. Right? What does Krishna say? Of the letters, I am A. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that akama means Krishna desire. So he says, so if you are full of sarva kama, if you are of moksha kama, if you have all liberation for material objects, or if you are desirous of liberation, if you have akama, then you are fine. That is, if you have Krishna desire, then everything is fine. So he says that is the process. So, in one sense, this verse is actually presenting what is the process. Okay, we have to develop Krishna desire, desire for Krishna. That will solve all the problems. And at the end of third chapter, which is presenting pure devotional service, Shravaka Rishi again comes into picture and he shows his eagerness to hear this conversation between Shukadev and Parikshit. And he condemns very enthusiastically materialistic people. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada, we can see, you know, he criticizes because he wants to change, see a change in people. So he criticizes heavily materialism. In the same way, Shravaka Rishi, he profusely criticizes materialistic mentality. He says, Bile bidu pituru krukma vikramanye, nashrunata karnapote narasya, jihva sati dadrike vasu suta. Nachobagaya Urugaya Gatha. If one doesn't have no interest in hearing Urugaya Gatha, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then his ears are just like a snake pit. And who talks anything other than the glorification of the Supreme Lord, he's just compared to croaking of a frog. Because he's attracting nothing but a snake and death. And then he tells many things. He says, you know, the eyes which doesn't see the beautiful form of the Lord, it is just like the print of plumes on a peacock feather. And he says, who doesn't actually circumambulate the Supreme Lord, then his legs are just like trees. And who is interested just in decorating themselves, not the Lord, they are just like dead bodies. So profusely he criticizes the materialistic people. And then he is showing his enthusiasm to hear about Krishna. It's not just like just criticizing, you know, just fault finding. But he is showing his eagerness to hear about Krishna. So we just briefly explained the first three chapters. First one, the first step in God realization. Second one, the Lord in the heart. And the third, the pure devotion service, change in heart. And then again, it comes to Maharaj Parikshit asking a very important question regarding creation. So that is the main thing we can take from the fourth chapter, the process of creation. So here, Maharaj Parikshit is completely detached from all material affairs. It is said he gave up the beautiful palace, wife, children, wealth. It is mentioned that virudha means very deep rooted attachment to all these kind of things. What we described, one can have such a deep rooted attachment. It is so difficult to give up one simple thing. So what to speak about giving up everything, right? If you lose, if I lose my iPad, I'm unhappy. If I lose my laptop, I'm happy. If I lose my watch, what's happening? If I lose even my bead bag, I think, where is my bead bag? So what to speak about losing everything? So Maharaj Parikshit, he left everything. He was completely renounced. And he was completely ready to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada says, how the society is so degraded in the age of Kali. Srila Prabhupada says, this is in 70s, so we can imagine it's 1972. In Los Angeles, he went for a walk or a drive, and he saw a billboard. And Srila Prabhupada is conversing with his disciple, and he asked, "Do you remember what billboard we saw?" So Prabhupada started laughing, and the billboard was, "Is there sex after death?" So Srila Prabhupada said, "Look at the consciousness of people. Their only interest while they are living is sex life, and so they are worried only about sex life after death." So Prabhupada says, if they find that the answer is yes, there is sex life after death, then they are fine. We don't worry about death. It is fine. And then Prabhupada gives a story. One person, he was a drunkard. And a pious person told him that if you are drinking, you will go to hell. So he said, actually my father also drinks. He said, then he will also go to hell. Then he said that, okay, not only my father, my brothers, my friends, everyone drinks. Then this pious person, then everyone will go to hell. So then this drunkard said that, okay, then this hell must be heaven. Because all my friends and relatives, everyone is in hell. So that is my heaven. I have no problem going to hell. So Prabhupada says, this is the condition of the society then. It's 1972. So think about the current situation. So people don't worry. Hell means no problem. Any birth, no problem. They cannot think anything further. They can only think about current enjoyment and end up in unavoidable suffering. Now, Maharaj Parikshit asks about creation. So one could ask, why he is asking about creation? Krishna and Krishna's material energies, the connection and the interaction. Why he has to ask such a question? So there are reasons. One reason, as an inquisitive enquirer, Maharaj Parikshit is showing that he knows that who is the source of creation. He knows already who is the source of creation. Because he had already dedicated his life to Lord Shri Krishna. So he mentions, I am going to the bank of Ganges, I am going to fast until death and meditating upon the lotus, I am going to meditate upon the lotus feet of Krishna. He knows Krishna as the creator. But he wanted to know the process of creation. So that is one reason. Second, it is mentioned that the creation is even unknown to the demigods. In other words, even to personalities who have developed their consciousness to a very high degree, for them, creation is unknown. Third one, he wants to glorify Sukadeva Goswami because Sukadeva Goswami is qualified to answer even this question. So Maharaj Parikshit says that you are as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And Prabhupada in the purport makes this point very clear that Mad Bhakta Puja Pyatika, quoting from Bhagavad Gita 11th Canto, that is, even the devotees are, it has to be respected even more than the Supreme Lord. Meaning that the devotees are directly accessible for our inquiries. So if you ask questions to such pure devotees, that is respecting them. In fact, and another very important point is, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur mentions, given in the purport, that for a liberated soul, he can relish the intimate pastimes of the Lord. Ras Leela, lifting Govardhan Hill, etc. But for a conditioned soul, must be eager to hear the Lord and his interaction with the material energy. Because we are already surrounded with the material energy. And we identify ourselves with the material energy in terms of different objects and different peoples and our own body and the mind. And to purify ourselves, one should hear what is the process of creation. And one should clearly understand who is the actual creator and whom everything belongs to. And for that sake, it is mentioned, okay, one must be eager to hear the process of creation also. So, Srishti Tattva is important for conditioned souls. So, one time, Srila Prabhupada was checking his books after publication, the initial books published by BBT, and he went through all of his Bhagavatam and he saw so many Radha Krishna pictures, so many paintings of Radha Krishna, intimate past and so many. And Srila Prabhupada became so angry. He said, who made my book like this? Who has done this? He was very upset. He said, I want to see how Krishna controls the world. It's not enough, the beautiful interaction of Krishna and his devotees, but I want to see how Krishna controls the world. Because we are in a position where we are thinking that we are the controllers. And to us, if we just tell, okay, we can control Krishna, if you only say, okay, the purpose is ultimately we can become controllers of Krishna by pure devotional service, that's not the right understanding. One has to know we are being controlled by the material energy through the agency of Krishna. So Prabhupada wanted to make it very clear that we have to know who is the real controller. So for that respect also, Srishti Tattva is very important. So here, Maharaj Parikshit asks these questions, how the Lord is engaging his different energies for creation. And when he, after asking this question, again, Sukadeva Goswami tries to answer this question. And before answering these questions, Sukadeva Goswami prays very beautiful prayers. We don't have time to go through all these prayers. Very beautiful prayers. First set of prayers showing that he is completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And the second set of prayers in the fourth chapter towards the end shows how he is begging for the mercy of the Lord. So his complete dependence, and because of complete dependence, he is asking for the mercy of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport to the verse, Bhule Mahadharya Ima Pura Vibhu Narmaya Sete Damusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasa Shodasa Admagam So Alamdakshishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. He is asking, kindly decorate the words I am speaking. Because just by lying down on Anantashesh, just from your dream, you can create the entire creation. The Lord can have the multiples of universes are just coming out in the dreaming stage of the Supreme Lord, Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu. And for you, my words are of no use, have no potency, but by your strength, you can make it worth. Srila Prabhupada says, whoever is speaking any topic on Krishna must understand and should follow in the footsteps of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Understand, we are just an instrument and we are useless, but the Lord is actually giving the inspiration and the knowledge for our benefit and for those who are listening. And in the fifth chapter, the cause of all causes, Sukadeva Goswami is quoting from a conversation between Narada Muni and Lord Brahma. Because or in the beginning of creation, there was a conversation between Narada Muni and Lord Brahma. Well, Narada Muni saw Lord Brahma was performing austerities. He was meditating upon someone. So he asked, who is that Supreme Lord whom you are meditating? So I can see that you are powerful. You know past, present and future. And you have created the whole creation, whole universe. But I can see that you are meditating upon someone else. So who is that person? Kindly explain. So Lord Brahma, when he heard this, he became actually very happy. He said, your question is very wonderful because that is placing my consciousness under the feet of the Supreme Lord. So, the answers to this question will help you, me and all of us. So he was completely enlivened by the question of Narada Muni. Then he says that, okay, it's the Narayan. Inspired by him only, I discovered that what is already created by him under his vision as the all-pervading super soul, and also I am created by him only. He says the Narayan is the Supreme Lord whom he is worshipping. And then he presents the three Vishnus, the Karmadakshayi, Garbhadakshayi and Shikiradakshayi Vishnus. And the Virat Roop is coming from Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. So whole material manifestation of a single universe is coming from Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. Then he says that the Lord's potencies are so inconceivable. It is Lord Brahma is the founder, for instance, he is the founder of our whole sampradaya, but he himself says that it is impossible to understand the potencies of the Lord. And then he says, okay, to glorify this inconceivable Lord, I will present all scheduled incarnations. So that is the content of the 7th chapter. Scheduled incarnations with specific functions. So here, Srila Prabhupada makes a very important point that all the scheduled incarnations are presented in this chapter because then people will not have any confusions. But we know already we have so much of confusions because this is the age of, you know, God, Bhagavan, who is dying in ventilator. You know, this is the age, you know, and there is Kalki prematurely appeared. So this is the situation where many people claiming themselves to be God already. So when this particular God, Bhagavan, was in the ventilator, I met his devotees. Two of them came to our house back when I was in India. And they said, this is just a pastime, this is just a leela. Going into the ventilator is a pastime. And he said, you know, we are not even worried about that. We have full confidence. It's just a matter of time, he will come out. After performing his leela, he will come out. This is the standard of the people. So, Brahmaji already in the beginning of creation itself knows what's going to happen. So to clarify these things, he presented not only the name of these incarnations, along with the village where they appear, or the place where they appear, and along with their father and mother, and also what are the specific functions. See, so all the details are given. So that people will not be misled. Despite people are misled. Because there is no authority of Shastra now. And he presents initially 20 Leela Avatars of the Lord. And then finally he presents Vyasadev, Krishna, Buddha and Kalki. So 24 incarnations are presented in this list. And then finally the 7th chapter, the final section is very important because this section, the two verses are instructions of Lord Brahma to Narada Muni. And we will read this instruction because these instructions are very, very important because the rest of the life of Narada Muni is based upon these instructions. So we can see Narada Muni preaching, you know, throughout Bhagavatam. Throughout Bhagavatam. So that activities are based on the 7th chapter instructions given by his spiritual master and father, Lord Brahmaji. O Narada, the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it was spoken as the accumulation of his diverse potencies. Please expand this science yourself. First point is, Srimad Bhagavatam is given to Narada Muni also in a nutshell, now expand yourself. Then he says, please describe the science of Godhead with determination and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Hari, the super soul of every living being and the summum bonum or summum bonum source of all energies. So this is the instruction of Lord Brahma to Narada Muni, that is to expand Srimad Bhagavatam, which was present in nutshell, and preach according to time, place and circumstances such that human beings can understand, people like us can understand the science of Godhead and can develop bhakti unto the Supreme Lord. So now we are coming to towards the end of second canto overview. So in the 8th chapter, which are again questions by King Parikshit. So here King Parikshit asks many questions. There are questions about the science of God, question about the devotional service, how the living entities get a material body, what's the difference between Lord and the Supreme Lord, the body of the Lord and the body of the living entity, what is meant by Virat Roop, what is karma, what is creation, how the social orders are created, what is dharma, what is Veda and what are different branches, what is conditioned and unconditioned living being. So he asks a list of questions, about 15 verses of questions by Maharaj Parikshit. Here we can see again these questions ask for the benefit of others, because Maharaj Parikshit, he knows already what's the conclusion, and he already hinted the conclusion is meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna, but he presents these questions for benefit of the conditioned beings. And now after this, the 9th chapter, which is very very critical in Srimad Bhagavatam second canto, because in this Shukadeva Goswami presents answers to these questions based upon a conversation between Lord Brahma and Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, in the beginning of creation. I have to tell that I missed one point. That is, actually I missed one chapter. That is, after the creation process, there is one chapter glorifying the Garbhagrihasthaya Vishnu. It is called Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Because we use Purusha Sukta in even deity worship, it's a Rigveda mantra. So those Purusha Sukta was paraphrased by Lord Brahma. So he prays to Garbhagrihasthaya Vishnu. So that is one chapter just after creation, where Lord Brahma is praying to Garbhagrihasthaya Vishnu, which is actually giving an in nutshell presenting whole Purusha Sukta. And after that he presents the scheduled incarnations. And then Maharaj Parikshit is asking further questions. And now finally coming to this 9th chapter, where Lord Brahma is presenting to Narada Muni, in fact, you know, what happened at the time of creation. As we know, when Lord Brahma came out from the lotus flower, he saw nothing and he was completely confused. And then he heard these two letters, Tapa. So he performed austerities, and then with his austerities in devotion service, the Lord himself was pleased. And the Lord personally appeared in front of Lord Brahma. And he said, I am completely satisfied with your austerities. And he did Karasparsha. Karasparsha, Prabhu translated that shaking hand. So the Lord actually shook hand with Lord Brahma. And he said, I am so pleased with you, I will show my spiritual abode. So first he took him on a tour to Vaikuntha. It's like if you go to someone's place, you know, okay, this is my house, he'll show the places around. In the same way, the Lord was so pleased, he took him and he gave a darshan of Vaikuntha. Then it is mentioned that after that he got a brief darshan of Golok Vrindavan also. He saw Krishna also. He had realization of Vishnu, Garbhagrihasthaya Vishnu, and he had realization of Gopal also. So that's why Brahma started reciting Brahma Samhita. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Because he got the highest realization. Now Brahma asks 4 questions to the Lord. So he had this meeting with the Lord and he asked 4 questions. Why these 4 questions are important? Because after Lord Brahma presents these 4 questions, the Lord presents answers to these 4 questions in the form of Chatushloki. These four verses are the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Chatushloki is given in the 9th chapter of 2nd canto. So the questions are, what are the forms of the Lord both in matter and in transcendence? How are the different energies of the Lord working? How does the Lord play with his different energies? And how may Brahma be instructed to discharge the duty entrusted to him? So how he can perform the duties, that's the final thing. So the Chatushloki is answer to these questions. And in these four verses, the Lord actually gives the entire summary of Srimad Bhagavatam in a very natural form, in a cryptic form in one sense. And there is one more very important verse even before Chatushloki. The summary of Chatushloki is given in this one verse. So this is the first verse spoken by the Lord, to Lord Brahma. So we can see whole Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. The seed verses are four verses known as Chatushloki. And even these four verses are summarized or just hinted upon in the first verse spoken by the Lord to Brahma. And that is, Jnanam paramam guhyam me yad vijnana samanvitam saharasyam tadangam cha grihnam gadita maya. So he says, the personality of God has said, knowledge about me as described in the scripture is very confidential and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me. You may take it up carefully. So here, jnana is actually referring to explanation of the samadha jnana, and which will be explained in the first verse of Chatushloki. And again, the vijnana, realization, it is given in the second verse of the verse 34, the second verse of Chatushloki. And saharahasyam, the confidential meaning, that is given in the third verse of Chatushloki. And tadangam, which is presenting the sadhana bhakti, that is given in the final verse of Chatushloki. So the four lines are actually reference to the four different verses from Chatushloki. So everything is summarized in this verse. And then the Lord presents the Chatushloki, starting from, you know, the four key verses. Ahamevasamevagre nanyat yat sadasatparam pachal ahameva edacha so yo vashishyeta sosmiham. So in this verse, aham is used three times to stress that the Lord is present in the past, in the present and in the future. He is eternal. So it's stressing the point of the existence of the Supreme Lord. In fact, the translation is, Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was the material nature the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So, it's mentioned that aham mentioning three times, if anything mentioned three times in Shastra, it means complete confirmation. And also it clarifies, it stresses that the Lord is a person. Because he's telling I three times. Stressing that he's a person. So this is part of Sambandha, showing the connection with us to the Supreme Lord. He is the source. Second Chatushloki is, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So in the second Chatushloki, the Lord defines Maya as anything if you see separate from Krishna, then that is Maya. Different energies are not Maya, but when we see, when in our consciousness, when we see them separate from Krishna, then that consciousness is Maya. It's not that the object in itself are Maya. So this is part of the Sambandha, because it's given, the Krishna and Krishna's energies are given in these two verses. So this is Sambandha again. And the next one is the third verse of Chatushloki. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos, at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I am outside of everything. So this is showing the prayojana, the conclusion, the objective of devotional service, which is What is the final objective of devotional service? Bhakti? Krishna Prem, Prem Bhakti. So this is in a very cryptic fashion, Prem Bhakti is given in this verse. That is, you know, it is practically difficult to understand. The universal elements enter into the cosmos at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. So the universal elements, there is outside, the shell is there, where all the universal elements are present. At the same time, they are present in the material manifestation also. Simultaneously present. In the same way, the Lord is saying that I am present within this manifestation and I am outside this manifestation simultaneously. How is it referring to Prema Bhakti? So Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse. Premanchana chrida bhakti vilochanena sandha sadeva hrudayeshu vilokayanti yamsyama sundaram achindya guna sarupam govinda madhukrishantamaham bhajami. So here the key point is the Lord Premanchana chrida bhakti vilochanena. If one's eyes are anointed with Prema Bhakti, with love, then he can see the Lord everywhere, within the heart and outside the heart. So that is the highest platform. So when it is mentioned that the Lord is present inside and outside, and who can perceive that, it's only for a Prema Bhakta. So in that sense, this is the conclusion of the whole Bhakti process. And finally, the last verse of Chaturshloki is the process, how to attain the final stage of devotion, Prema Bhakti. And that is given as Tadangam in the conclusive verse, as Tadangam, the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So a person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So, one has to search. In other words, the bhakti process, even in the sadhana stage, is applicable in all circumstances, in all space and time. And finally, both directly and indirectly. What's the meaning of directly and indirectly? Directly is referring to the angas of bhakti, which are what that one should do, the positive injunctions. And indirectly is referring to that which have to be avoided. Say, four regulatory principles, things which we have to avoid. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, positive injection, that which we have to do. So that is Tadangam, that is a sadhana bhakti. So one has to perform sadhana bhakti in all circumstances. Then one can achieve sadhya bhakti, one can achieve the perfection of sadhana. So from there, the 9th chapter is concluded, and in the 10th chapter, Shukadev Goswami continues speaking, and this is titled, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. And well, there's a description of the 10 subjects of Bhagavatam. So the first verse itself is Shukadeva Goswami says, Atra sargo visargarcha sthanam poshanam utayaha mandantara ishanikatha nirodho muktir ashraya. So the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam is given as the creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of Manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation and the summum bonum. So these are the 10 subjects of Bhagavatam. So that is given in this chapter. And a bit further explanation also. And that concludes the last chapter of this canto. So we briefly saw how this the 10 chapters are assembled. So the first 3 chapters, based on the questions from the last section of first canto. So these are the first step in God realization, followed by the Lord in the heart, and then the pure devotional service, change in heart. Then in the 4th, Maharaj Parikshit asks the question, very important, about creation. And then 5th is giving the process of the cause of all causes, describing the creation. And then the Purusha Sukta confirmed. And then the chapter 7, explaining the scheduled incarnation with specific functions. And in the 8th chapter, Maharaj Parikshit asks a list of questions. And answers to that, the Shukadeva Goswami quotes from the conversation between the Lord, Supreme Lord and Brahma, and where the Chaturshloki is given. And finally, in the last chapter, Shukadeva Goswami concludes by presenting the 10 symptoms of Srimad Bhagavatam or even a Mahapurana. So that's the conclusion. So I conclude here and see if there are any quick questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned the word having the darshan of the law.
Yeah.
And how you require that experience. So, Sunan Bhagavad Gita, I know that Lord Krishna gives the hierarchy, the mind is higher than the senses, the duty is higher than the mind. Also, the hierarchy is when mind can control the senses and the duty can control the senses and control the mind. Now, how do we reconcile that now when we have the meditation on the Lord's form and the character of Krishna?
I think these are two different things. Can you just summarize your question a little bit to make it a bit more precise?
When we have that sense, can we reconcile that the intelligence is directly given without bypassing the senses and mind?
Okay. So the question is, while we are looking upon the Lord and meditating upon the Lord, say in the deity form, then are we bypassing the mind and the senses? Because it is mentioned that the intelligence gets purified. So when the intelligence is purified, what happens? Then we can control the mind. Because the agency through which we are controlling the mind and senses is through the intelligence. Because the mind can go anywhere. So first, even in our process of Krishna consciousness, the mind will not agree upon many things. Even if you want to chant 16 rounds sitting at one place, mind will not agree. But with intelligence, we understand, okay, I have heard the lecture, it is good for me. Okay, I'll sit. I'll sit and chant. Correct? So the intelligence is helping us to control the mind. And on a higher stage, the mind in itself becomes purified. How the mind becomes purified? So mind can become our friend only after a bit of advancement. Where the mind in itself is giving, or in other words, the feelings are for worshipping the Lord. Can we see? In the intelligence, with intelligence we are directing the mind. We don't want to do it, mind doesn't want to do, but with the intelligence we understand, then we are pushing the mind. So that's why we use intelligence in terms of controlling the mind. However, when one is more, even more advanced, then mind can become friend. So the mind in itself is naturally, there is a spontaneous inclination in worshipping the Lord. And the thoughts are naturally coming, not about sense gratification, but serving the Lord. So here, for a practitioner, it is very important to look at the deity form of the Lord, because as it is given, intelligence will get purified. Any further questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantashim Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada.